Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So if you were here last week, we began our road trip of what happens to us in vehicles and when we go on the move. Goes nicely with our VBS theme, doesn't it? But last week we looked at the story of Moses and looking at when we first get those keys to the car and we first get offered that power behind the ability to drive and what's that like and how we have the power and who we are and the way we act and behave of how we have that influence over other people. But now that we've got the keys, now that we got the car, now that we're on the move, here's what happens. Me, I remember very, very clearly one Saturday morning. I needed to be down at school to go to a volleyball tournament. And my brother had plans for his car, and my parents didn't have anything they were doing except they were going to go to the volleyball tournament. And so my dad stepped out in faith. And what did he do? But he handed me the keys to his truck. I didn't get to drive the truck. But Dad trusted me that I could get down to the school in his truck. Let me tell you, it is four turns and one stop sign to get from my parents' house to the school at this time. They hadn't put in the signal yet. And so it was maybe half a mile. So it really didn't take that much trust for Dad to believe that at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning when nobody else is out there, that I could make it through the four turns and the one stop sign and get safely to the parking lot, right? I couldn't get any trouble. Okay, I made it through the four turns. I made it through the stop sign. I made it into the parking lot, parking, and I was early because I didn't want to speed through that half mile. So I was there, and I looked at where I parked, okay? Here's where I parked my truck. I'm actually going to go right here. Here's where I parked my truck, and here at the corner of the parking spot was one of the light poles of the parking lot with this concrete base to it. Well, my little brilliant brain looked at the truck and looked at that concrete thing and thought, you know, when I come back to this truck and I pull out of this parking spot, there's a chance I might hit that concrete standard. I'm going to move the truck so that later I don't hit it. Okay? So I get back in the truck and I start the truck and I go to pull out and what do I hear but the sound like somebody's just stepped on a can of soda, right? You know that crunching sound? That's the sound I heard. I'd hit the light standard. I made a scratch about this long, concrete gray, in the side of my dad's beautiful front fender, okay? My dad, some of you have met my dad takes pristine care of his vehicles, okay? I mean, he washes them every week. He waxes them every month. He does everything exactly on time. He believes you take absolute care of your vehicles so they will take care of you, right? And now here, his beautifully perfect truck has been made imperfect by me. And what do I believe? But the apocalypse is coming when Dad gets down to the school and he finds out what I've done. But you know, that's not the most afraid that I felt, because it wasn't that long after that. My brother had gone off to college, and so I had gotten my brother's car. And now what did I get with the ability to have my brother's car and being a junior and upperclassman now? I had the freedom and privilege and right to go off campus for lunch, okay? This was a big, huge deal. No cafeteria food, no packing your lunch, the freedom to go off that campus and eat. And I remember one day in particular, my friends were going to In-N-Out Burger, and I was getting to go to In-N-Out Burger with my friends, and I thought I had hit the jackpot of luckiness because I was going to be able to drive off campus and go to In-N-Out. So I get into my little brown Datsun 280ZX. Oh yeah, I was styling in my 16-year-old Datsun 280ZX. And I turn it on and I crank up my music and I am just the happiest camper in all of the world. I mean, pure joy in this 16-year-old behind this car. And I go out of the parking lot and at this point now there's a signal in front of the school. It somehow came between the volleyball tournament and now. And so the signal comes and I come out of the parking lot and to get to In-N-Out, I gotta make a left turn through that signal. Now as I approach, that light turns from green to yellow, okay? My 16-year-old brain says, I can make it, and then I'll be 2 minutes earlier to In-N-Out as opposed to if I stop, I'm going to get in the intersection before it turns yellow, and I'll be okay. So I get in on yellow, and I turn probably a little quicker than I should, and my tires were kind of balding. They needed to be changed. So what did I make but this nice sound as I go through the signal, okay? But that sound wasn't nearly as bad as the woo, woo, woo of the officer that had been waiting to catch somebody and decided I was the one to catch. Now the apocalypse was coming. The first one was an accident and an oops, but this one was totally my fault, right? That officer had no problem educating me that running a red light was not getting through, getting into the intersection before red, but getting out of the intersection before red. My mistake. I learned my lesson. But I had to deal with the punishments that came with that ticket, right? Not as much that one, but this one, now I had to pay the ticket, right? And then I had to go to that wonderful thing called traffic school. I had to give up 3 Saturday mornings in a row going to traffic school so that it wouldn't go on my record, right? So that I wouldn't have to suffer the consequences of what would happen with that point on my record. This happens. When we get the keys to the car, accidents can happen, right? Tickets can happen. All these things can happen. Those oops and mistakes that happen. And so I take us with that to the very beginning, to Genesis. Because here's the biggest oops of all oopses, right? I mean, Adam and Eve, they get to the keys of the car called the Garden of Eden and life, right? I mean, here, God, you want to talk about like the cherry red sports car of all sports cars would be the Garden of Eden. I mean, if you listen to the description of it, all of its lush beauty, rivers on every side, every kind of thing they would need to eat, the animals roaming through it. I mean, it is picture perfect. And God not only says, here's picture perfect, everything that you need and the beauty of this garden that you will never have to leave, but above everything else, I create you in my image to be my only image in Eden and on this earth. Here are the keys to my car. But God says, when you drive my car, when you live in my Eden, when you take care of my animals, guess what? There's only one rule, right? So simple. Only one rule. That one tree, you know which tree I'm talking about. That tree, don't you eat it, right? Everything else, you name it, you eat it, you peel it, you enjoy it. Everything else except that one tree. Just stay away from it. Well, human beings, how well do we do when we're told to stay away from things, okay? We just want them, don't we? That temptation. But Adam and Eve, they were being good. By chapter 3, by the third chapter of all of the Bible, they were being good. They hadn't gone near that tree. They hadn't eaten it. They hadn't picked it. They were so good. But what happens? The serpent is the craftiest of all creation, right? That little forked tongue says, God says not to eat it. Shh, don't trust God. God just doesn't want you to be equal with him. He won't punish you. Your life won't end. Don't trust what God says. Enjoy that fruit and all the great things that come with it. Well, Eve, she falls right into that trap, doesn't she? She believes that serpent. She takes that fruit. She eats it, and it's good. And then one of the things that catches me the most, do y'all pay attention to this? Do y'all pay attention to your Bible? Because what does it say here? Okay, let's think. God created Adam, and it says God told Adam not to eat the fruit of the tree. It doesn't say God told Adam and Eve. It says God told Adam, okay? Now here is the faithful, supportive husband right here, because it says she ate it, and then she gave some to Adam who was with her. Does anybody see in this Bible where Adam says, Eve, be strong, don't eat it. Eve, resist. Eve, God told me not to. No! So I think mistake number one is Adam failing in his husband duties of helping Eve to resist temptation, okay? But she eats it, she gives it to Adam, and they both realize in those bites, shame, don't they? Because that's what we see when it says, and they realized they were naked. They realized for the very first time shame, and they try to hide it. And they literally try to hide, because it says here, and these words kind of scare me. They ate it, they realize they're naked, they try to put some fig leaves to cover themselves, and then they see God is walking in the garden. Have you ever, any of you ever seen God walking in the garden around you? Does that scare anybody else to think about, you know, you've just sinned and done something wrong to God, and then all of a sudden there he is walking in your presence, able to see you in all of your shame? That image kind of scares me. And it scared them, and so what did they do? They tried to hide from the Almighty, the Omnipotent, the Omniscient, the All-Powerful, the All-God. They thought they could hide from him. The mistakes, they just keep multiplying here, don't they? But God catches them, and they say, we're hiding because we're naked. And he says, well, you're only going to be naked if you did something wrong. Did you eat of that tree I told you not to eat of? And what happens? He looks at Adam. Adam, did you eat of the tree? It's like the little one-year-old, you know? The littlest of life, we've learned this. The one-year-old with the chocolate chips all over the face. Did you eat a cookie? No, I did not eat a cookie. Adam, did you eat of the fruit? Wasn't me. Eve made me do it, right? Let's compound the mistakes. I'm not going to own to my sin. I'm not going to admit I did wrong. I'm going to pass the blame to Eve. Eve made me do it. So God looks at Eve. Eve, did you eat of my tree that I told you not to eat? Oh, the serpent made me do it, right? We just pass the blame and come up with excuses. You know? We try it. You hear that woo, woo, woo behind you. What excuses can I come to? I was in labor. I had to speed, right? That would have been a great 16-year-old excuse, but I don't think it would have worked. We got to come up with the excuse how it's somebody else's fault. I didn't see the sign. There was a tree in the way. It looked green to me. I mean, we come up with excuses because we don't want to take the blame. We don't want to own our mistakes. But here it comes, and God catches them, and God dishes out the punishment, and not easy punishments, right? I mean, the snake, you will now be the lowest of all creatures. You will crawl on your belly, and you and humankind will be like this. Let me tell you, me and snakes, we are like this. The first time I saw a rattlesnake right outside my front door, I thought I was going to die, and I was ready to kill it. I called animal control instead. But snakes are scary. We don't like them, the majority of us. And that enmity was created right there from the beginning. And then God looks at Eve and says, okay, childbirth, now it's going to be the most painful process you've ever gone through. It's going to last 15, 24, 36, 48 hours, and it's going to be hard and it's going to be tough, and you are going to dislike it like none other. And Adam gets to rule over you, by the way. So you get the pain, and Adam gets to rule over you. And Adam, you are going to have to work for what you have now. It's not going to be so easy to just have the earth give you what you want, but you're going to have to take it from that earth. And it's going to break your back, and you're going to have to work those 40 and 60 and 80 hours, possibly two jobs, to provide for the basic needs of your family. But this is what's going to happen. And to top it all off, this perfect little world that I've created for you, this perfect, lush garden that symbolizes everything good on this earth, I'm sending you out of. I'm closing it up, and you will never find it again. These aren't just consequences that were a quick slap on the wrist. This wasn't Adam and Eve, you need to go spend 10 minutes in the corner or write me a check to pay this debt. These were punishments that lasted through them and every generation to come. How many women, when I said childbirth and pain, all these memories came, okay? Yeah. Men, if I talk about working the earth, have you thought about what it is that the jobs that you've had or what it's taken to work in your garden or deal with weeds? I mean, these are punishments that will last for all time. And sometimes it can feel like that in our world. I mean, you get a ticket that you can't take traffic school, and that goes on your record, doesn't it? You know? You make some mistakes in your finances or get through tough times, goes on that credit history. And you have to sit and live with it and be punished because of it. whenever those records are pulled up, whenever you get your insurance statement that now has that accident or that ticket on it, you know? But they're called accidents, folks. It's not called intentionals. Did you notice this? If you hit another car or you hit a post or something happens, they call them accidents. But we don't treat them like accidents the way they go on these records. Here we go. They sit, and they sit with us. And sometimes when we sin and we make mistakes, when we do damage to things around us, it can feel just that way. Like that shame in the first Adam and Eve, we can feel that and hold on to it. And all we really want to do is get back into Eden. All we want to do is to get back into that place we were before that mistake. I mean, I know that feeling. I knew that feeling 3 years ago. I mean, I had had little fender benders and things that had dinged a car, but I'd never really been in a real car accident. And then here 3 years ago, I'm driving down a two-lane road to take Kylie to her tumbling class. All three kids in the car. Maddie's less than a year old. Kylie and Aiden are 3 and 5 years old, so they're pretty little. And here we're going down the road, and, you know, roads in Winchester, Marietta, you got a two-lane highway, and it's 60 miles an hour. So here I'm going 60 miles an hour down it. And what do you know but a 18-year-old kid that had recently got his license was paying attention to a motorcycle on the side of the road instead of me and turned left in front of me and took out the front of my car and caused us both to spin and end up on the side of the road. It totaled my van. It totaled my back and it totaled my neck and it scared my kids to no end. That car, that van, we had to say goodbye to. And within a week, we magically found a new van to replace it. It was same model, same brand as our one that we had, but a few years newer and an extra seat. We upgraded to an 8-passenger instead of a 7. And Doug, he was just elated over this van. Look at all the bells and whistles. Look at this new seat. Look, it's newer. He was so excited, and he had to see everything. Besides driving it, I didn't want to have anything to do with that van. I didn't want to pay attention to the features. I didn't want to tell anybody about it because all I knew is that van was a symbol of needing to buy it because what we had gone through in the old van. All I could think is no matter what you did to this van, it could fly and get me places 10 times faster. It could have everything in it. And no matter what it can offer, all I want is my old van back. And not to have gone through that accident, to not know how much it hurts, to not hear my kids when we get in the car, "Mommy, can you make sure nobody hits us today? Mommy, can you watch out for the cars around us? Mommy, I don't want to do that again." And all I wanted to do was to go back to that place of perfection before, of not knowing what that felt like, not having my kids go through that. Can I just go back? But we can't go back, can we? There's so many times that when damage happens, we can't undo it. We can't undo the words we've said. We can't undo the things we've done. We can't undo it. And all we want back is that place. But you know what? The commercial from Allstate just keeps going through my head as I've been working on this sermon. Because, you know, that's one of those things. You got accidents, you get tickets, they go on your record, and they stay with you. And then Allstate was the first to come out with this accident forgiveness, right? I mean, they came out with this accident forgiveness. We understand accidents happen, and we don't think you need to be punished for years to come. So we're going to grant you this accident forgiveness. Well, God is our accident forgiveness, isn't he? Because we want to get back to Eden. We want to get back to that place of perfection. We want to get back to the places before we felt shame and guilt and the aches and pains of our mistakes. Because most of the time they were accidents. We didn't want to intentionally hurt someone. We didn't want to intentionally do that, but it happened. Well, God closed up Eden. You see it right after the verse that Karen said. God closed up Eden and put cherubim in front of it so they couldn't get back in. And those punishments came, and all God's people wanted to do was get back to that original place, that original relationship with God. But they just couldn't do it. But how blessed are we that we get accident forgiveness, that we get God taking us back to Eden. You know how God does that? Because that place of perfection comes in God's love. It comes in God's grace that he offers free of charge to us at any time, no matter what. No matter how naked or shameful we might be in front of him, no matter what we've done, God sits there with his grace on a silver platter. He says, I perfectly love you so much. This is what I want to offer you. And when we open our hearts to receive that love and grace, and when we love ourselves in the way that God does, that love creates Eden within us, a place of perfection, a place of innocence, a place of purity that can only come from God. You know, I told you of that first incident, that light standard, and I thought the apocalypse was coming. I knew my dad. I knew how upset he would get when I damaged my toys or did things I wasn't supposed to or colored on the walls, and I knew how much that truck meant to him. I knew how much he trusted me, and I thought he was going to lose it. But do you know how my dad reacted when he saw that truck? He told me he loved me more than that truck, and that's what mattered most. That was a moment of grace that I didn't deserve, but he was going to give me because he was my dad, and he loved me that much. That's how much our God loves us. There's nothing perfect in this world. If we search for it, we're going to be disappointed. We find perfection in God and how he loves us and how he desires to restore us to a perfect place in his presence if we'll just open our hearts and allow it. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks that you perfectly love us, that you perfectly love us in our perfect imperfections. Help us to love ourselves as much as you love us, to allow ourselves to be back in Eden by giving ourselves grace, by giving ourselves forgiveness, by giving ourselves the ability to be fully loved by you. For all of this we pray and seek in your most mighty and gracious name. Amen.